Tap into the passion and vision of well-known entertainment luminaries with Thinking Out Loud. Go on a journey with unfiltered access to today's media innovators. Hear their strategy for rising above the crowded landscape. Important lessons and valuable wisdom that only comes from real industry experience.
Hello, I'm Vicki Lins, President and CEO of CTAM, a marketing organization focused on the media entertainment technology industry. Today, I'm speaking with Mihir Walavalkar, co-founder and CEO of LiveLike, which is an audience engagement platform that allows broadcasters to transform streaming into fan-driven interactive experiences. Mihir, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Vicki. Appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast.
Absolutely. You know, LiveLike sounds like fun. So why don't you help us understand what it is and how we might experience it?
So LiveLike is a technology platform. Our mission is to empower media companies, cable companies, broadcasters, event organizers to elevate their experiences for the younger generation. You know, it's kind of funny. Until 6 months ago, I was always saying, you know, for the younger generation. But today, with the change in consumption habits across the spectrum with streaming and Zoom, I feel like everyone's behavior has shifted. And if you want to engage communities today that are constantly used to going onto Twitter or Twitch or Snap and Instagram or communicating on Zoom, everyone needs to think about how to make this an amazing experience for fans. You know, whether they're watching sports, whether they're watching reality TV, news debates, how do you engage the communities? How do you give them a social interactive viewing experience? LiveLike makes it easy for partners to have that within their own apps. We built products and platforms that people can integrate into their own digital offerings. So to your second question of how you can experience this, more often than not, it will be through our partners. So, you know, for example, during the NBA bubble restart this summer, you could have gone into the NBA app and invited your own friends in there to watch and chat together. With the presidential debates, we work with Fox to create this interactive second screen experience to have polls and predictions and trivia. And, you know, what did you think of that answer? Or who do you think has won that debate? You know, here's fact check, or go here for more information. They had a couple of Twitter personalities sort of giving expert analysis in real time that the audiences could react to. So there's a lot we can do with our partners, but ultimately they are the ones that are launching the experiences.
So take us back a little bit. It's interesting that you're the co-founder of the company as well as the CEO leading it forward.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about where was the need for this and where did this idea come from and what was the initial launch plan around this?
We actually started our journey more as a live streaming platform for virtual reality. You know, 6 years ago, a few of us came together and said, you know, the idea of social communal viewing is something that is very innate to all of us. I grew up in India. A couple of my co-founders were from France, and we were always watching games. I mean, me personally, I watched all kinds of sports in the middle of the night. Gosh, Tour de France, golf, tennis, Formula One, NFL, NBA. Maybe not so much NFL when I was in India. They weren't broadcasting it there, but NBA. And, you know, we always watched it alone because it was at odd hours. You know, we were not going to bars to watch games. And yet social communal viewing is the natural form of watching any type of entertainment. And so we were like, you know, how can we create experiences virtually that people feel like they're watching it together or they're watching it from the stadium? So this whole idea of three pillars, social, interactive, and immersive, that's what our core thesis was. Obviously, virtual reality was just one medium. You know, most of the engagement is happening on mobile phones and on desktops and connected TVs. So as we started growing the business and we attracted capital from some real tier A investors, we started thinking about how do we scale the business beyond just the headset market? And that's where we realized that, you know, rather than launching parallel standalone experiences, why don't we think about a way where partners can integrate our experiences within their apps and transform their apps into next generation entertainment offerings? You know, most of streaming, OTT, is still primarily passive lean-back viewing experiences, which is fine if you're watching cable TV, where it's, you know, you're watching on the big screen and you're on your couch and you're just, you know, watching TV. But if you're on your phone, you're doing so many things all at once. And the idea of how can we bring in a social experience and these watch parties, which has now become topic du jour, but we've been focusing on these for the last 5 years, is where, you know, we wanted to go. And so I personally believe that the more you can engage the community by giving them choice and personalizing the content for them, more you can find out about them. This whole first-party engagement data concept, whether it's from an analytics standpoint, from an advertising standpoint, is extremely important. Cable companies and media companies don't need to lose out on all their audiences' engagement to social networks. They can retain at least some of that on their own platforms.
You mentioned social, interactive, and immersive.
Yeah.
Help us understand the interactive and immersive, because I'm assuming that those are the components that make this really different than viewers engaging on social media and doing sort of the watch party type events that are authentically popping up all over the place.
Completely. It's a combination of all those pillars that really supercharges the experience. You know, why interactive? Look, I come from the world of sports. So let me just use that as an example. If you're watching NBA content or NFL content, and you know, the producers of those games can actually start editing, and they can start providing editorial experiences to their fans in the form of polls and predictions. You know, who do you think is going to win the game next? Or creating free-to-play prediction games where you can gamify these experiences. Like, you know, the more questions you get right, the more points you earn, and the more points you earn, the more rewards you can gain. You know, there's this whole section of gamification that has been perfected by the big gaming companies. And you see that on Twitch as well, now that it's owned by Amazon and it's expanding rapidly. None of that interactivity exists currently in the sports world and the media world. Or even if it does, it exists in very primitive and sporadic fashion. What we think is, if you're watching live content and someone has millions of users in their apps watching their content through the app, then we should be engaging them during that time, you know, because that's one thing you cannot do on WhatsApp, right? WhatsApp is a peer-to-peer experience. Whereas if you have an interactive game or a predictive game and you're gamifying all of that and tying it to real-world rewards, only the broadcasters can actually do that on their apps. Social networks are not putting that effort into doing it. So how do you differentiate and elevate your own experiences? That's where the interactive and immersive aspects come into play.
And then, as you mentioned earlier, it's the broadcaster who's bringing this to the public. So this is all branded under their brand, their environment, however they want to integrate it into that viewing experience, correct?
Correct. And I mean, you know, just expanding on that, you know, we have a core thesis. There is no ideal fan experience, which means there is no one-size-fits-all type of a strategy when it comes to engaging your audience. Each sport is different. You know, NFL is a stop-and-go sport, and basketball and soccer are fluid sports. Each league is different. You know, NFL is 18 games a year, and every Sunday they own Sundays, right? Whereas NBA is a lot more tuned into the pop culture zeitgeist, so to speak. You know, much closer to the celebrities and the fashionistas of the world. And there are historical rivalries that you want to tap into from fan behavior standpoint. You know, if you move into reality TV and Mass Singer and you know, MasterChef, et cetera, there are different cadences to audience engagement across all these content verticals, which means that the way you engage your community also has to be different across these places. So what we're trying to do is give the broadcasters the tools to A, control the user experience, control that cadence of fan engagement, but have it all within their own environment, branded within their own environment, sponsored by their partners. And the data that comes from it goes to them. We're not trying to collect that data or own that data. We are passing that data to partners so that we can start learning and, you know, experimenting what works, what doesn't work. How do we improve this experience going forward? What tweaks need to be made? And that's the idea of what LiveLikes platform allows you to do.
There are so many terrific questions I could ask right now based on what you just said. This is all very expansive and really interesting and exciting. Let me go in this direction first. In terms of production, game design, software development, user experience, how flexible is your toolkit? How much of the work falls to LiveLike versus the broadcaster using it? And then how do they adapt it and adjust it to create that unique viewer experience?
That's the sweet spot. That's when we start really differentiating ourselves from what's available in the marketplace, right? What we have done is we've built a combination of, just going to get a little bit technical here, but SDKs and APIs. So when broadcasters are starting to think about, do I want to build or buy? You know, what we're telling them is, if you want to build yourselves, use our APIs because you have complete control. So there are broadcasters around the world. Canal Plus, which is one of the biggest pay TV broadcasters in Europe, they just took our APIs and built the whole thing themselves, this whole interactive, predictive experience inside their applications. And because they use APIs, they are now able to actually go beyond mobile web and into connected devices and set-top box integrations as well, frankly, because they control their own experience. What we're providing them is the ability to scale up, the reliability that comes with handling millions of users. We're providing them some purpose-built use cases that apply specifically to the media and entertainment use case, which is how do you engage while watching sports? The editorial toolkit that can be used to create these polls and predictions and create interactive insights and expert analysis, so to speak. So we have purpose-built this for the media and entertainment industry in a way. So what they're getting with LiveLike is our APIs and the CMS, the editorial tool. On the other hand, the broadcasters who say, you know what, we would rather buy. And within a matter of weeks, NBA went live in 4 weeks, start to finish, maybe 5 weeks. They went live in 5 weeks using our SDKs, integrating the social experience within mobile apps, you know, iOS, Android, and in their desktop experience. And then what we also provide, and you mentioned design and game design and stuff. We provide certain set of capabilities out of the box. So, you know, our SDK come pre-built with certain UI UX, which we have built based on user research, extensive user research and user testing from around the world. If you care to use that, we obviously need to make sure that the look and feel matches your own branding. So we give you a certain set of options to customize this, you know, the look, the feel, the colors, the fonts, the border size, radius, et cetera, right? So it matches your brand guidelines. But then there are those partners who want something completely bespoke. So to them, what I say is, if you have some agency you're working with or in-house development teams that are willing to write a little bit of code and script, they can actually create their own custom UI and inject it into our SDK. So the presentation layer is separated, which is the UI layer, is separated from the business logic layer. So you can still take care of all of the features that LiveLike provides, you know, answering a question, rewarding points if you get a right or wrong answer. But the UI and the look and feel is completely custom to the partner. Basically, our platform is divided into three components. One is the developer toolkit, which is amazing documentation, best practices from around the world, sample code, out-of-the-box UI. You have the user pulse, which is the UI, UX, the SDK, these widgets, these chat modules that come out of the box that you can just change look and feel for. And then there is the editorial CMS, where operators are essentially assigning social media managers and community engagement managers who know how to engage a community in real time. It's almost like the difference between having a DJ at a party versus having a set playlist at a party. A DJ always knows when to turn it up or down depending on what the audience is doing. And that's the kind of a toolkit that we are giving our partners. Like, you decide how you want to engage the community and at what points in the match, pre-game, post-game, halftime, etc.
Well, this is all very interesting and I think answers the question, why LiveLike, right? Why is this different? And it also leads me to believe that with that last tier, what you're doing is enabling your partners to create the most customized, immersive experience. So there's really nothing that's one size fits all about any of this.
You hit the nail on the head. There is a lot of noise in the market. Everyone has their own strengths and weaknesses, obviously. For us, we want to be able to provide partners with an opportunity to give their product managers a chance to shine. Really, that's the decision maker for LiveLike. When we work with partners, obviously, you have the marketing heads who are going to basically decide on the ROI that they can get out of this by selling sponsorships and stuff. But the people who are really looking at this are the heads of digital, the heads of product, who are like, I want to create a unique experience for my fans. And by the way, it might change. You know, Flow Sports is a partner of ours. They are a subscription service for niche sports, wrestling, grappling, cheerleading, marching band. So they have these hardcore communities, but they're all niche communities because there's no overlap between the fan bases, right? And each one of their audience is being treated differently. So their editorial team is saying, okay, wrestling fans are hardcore fans. We're going to make a free-to-play prediction game for them using LiveLike. Whereas grappling fans want expert analysis from other grapplers. And so they bring these two influencers to come in and in a sort of chat with the community in real time. For dirt racing, it's much more of a fun engagement sport. And, you know, for them, it's like, let's just have fun, give interesting comments and trivia questions, etc. So these guys are free to decide on their own how they want to engage the community. For Masked Singer, for example, this is a hypothetical. If you're watching the show, right, it's pre-recorded, you could actually have the judges in real time communicating with the audience about what they were thinking. You know, we don't get that, right? It's a one-to-many experience when it's on broadcast. But what if they were telling you in real time the scoop, like the inside baseball of what was going on during their judging panel? That's the kind of stuff that audiences crave for.
So let's change gears a little bit and talk about the monetization opportunities that exist for the media industry. What does that look like with working with LiveLike?
Many ways you can monetize. Obviously, these experiences, when done correctly, can actually either drive new subscription tiers, like premium subscription tiers. If you want to transfer someone from a free tier to a premium subscription tier, you can say like, hey, only the premium fans get to have access to this entirely social interactive experience. Another way is obviously through sponsorship. There's a lot of first-party engagement data that we're generating from this experience. What kind of content really resonates with you? Who are your friends? How many friends are you engaging with when you're watching some pieces of content? Cross-selling to them, e-commerce and ticketing while the live stream is going on. Microtransactions is another area of monetization tools. We are doing virtual badges and rewards, unique sticker packs that only are available once you hit a certain level or milestone in a gamified engine. If you reach that gold level, you can download a sticker pack where only you get to use those stickers when you're in a chat group with your fans and showing off your level. All these things are aspects that the gaming companies have perfected. And we are trying to bring these to the world of cable and media. The simplest form of monetization is sponsorship, right? The number of impressions that are generated through these interactions is insane. And if you have a sponsor against this, when we were doing the presidential debates with Forbes, Absolute Vodka was the sponsor. I mean, the number of ads that were shown, a number of impressions that were created was huge.
You've mentioned sponsored a couple of times, and obviously there are advertising opportunities here. What does advertising in an immersive environment look like?
You get a chance to go beyond banner ads and mid-rolls and interstitials. You can start to targeted advertising, contextual advertising. In our case, there's a whole suite of features that can be sponsored. When you're in a chat experience, you can have custom emojis that are sponsored. You can have custom sticker packs brought to you by Heineken or brought to you by Pepsi. When you're doing these widgets like polls and predictions, the correct or wrong answer can have sponsor integrations. We have animations. So like, you know, you answer a question correctly, two Coke bottles clinking against each other as a, you know, a cheers of sorts is the animation for a correct response. You have reactions specifically to chat messages. So like you find someone's message funny, you get a pre-filled set of emojis. Those four reactions could be sponsored, right? You have, you know, I just use this as an example because I'm an Avengers fan, but you could have the, you know, new Avengers movies coming out. You have an avatar of Thor, Iron Man, Loki, and Black Widow. And those could be the four reactions that are there. The opportunities are endless in terms of how you want to monetize this. And then lastly, but not the least, you can push and add as and when you want. So you know how in radio shows, I was a fan of Frasier, and they would like pause the show and go to a commercial and Frasier would read that out. You don't get to do that necessarily on linear TV because it's going one to many, but you can do that over here. You can push a notification, which is a sponsor alert, which says, click here for the Pepsi halftime show, or click here for, you know, Heineken, you know, or you know, whatever, Abercrombie and Fitch merchandising. So much of what I'm saying is best consumed visually.
A lot of what you've just outlined is really very data driven. So yeah. Let's just take a minute to talk about the data aspects of this. Earlier, you mentioned that LiveLike is not collecting the data. The data is going to your partner and right. It's for your partner's use, which obviously enables them to improve viewer experience, but also allows them to monetize these experiences in different ways. Talk to us a little bit about the data aspects here.
Absolutely. When we decided that we wanted to provide a toolkit for partners to integrate our functionality into their own apps, there were some architectural decisions that we had to make. First was, we couldn't interfere with the existing workflow. You know, people already have established workflows from a video standpoint, from an authentication and registration standpoint. A key constraint of working with LiveLike was that you have to change your existing workflow. That's a deal breaker, right? It creates a lot of friction in terms of deal making, and we wanted to keep this process as frictionless as possible. As part of the same design process, we started thinking about how do we enable partners to enrich their existing user profiles. So you have information about your user when they log into your system, right? When someone comes into that, let's say, Vicky, you and Mary are in the app. You're engaging with the live-like functionality, for example, in the app. The moment you come into the app, we create a user token for you, and we pass that to the integrator, to the developer, or to the partner. They then store that user token into their own CRM. And all the data that is associated with that user token, how many polls answered, how many prediction questions she got right or wrong, how many friends she invited, all that information is now flowing into the user profile that where the user token is attached. There are some aspects to your behavior in the app that has nothing to do with LiveLike. For example, let's say the LiveLike SDK is integrated on mobile and web, but you're using the connected devices platform. You're coming on an Apple TV app all the time for discovery. The integrator knows that. So if they want to reward you for coming into the app 5 days in a row, which has nothing to do with LiveLike specific interactive functionality, our gamification engine can still allow you to give rewards for that. So all the integrator is going to do is tell LiveLike, hey, Vicky came into the app 5 days in a row, give her 20 points, and we will facilitate that transaction. What that does is it actually allows a whole unified user journey as far as the integrator is concerned. So now they're able to know much more about you and tie it into their own database. And what they do with that information is obviously entirely up to them.
How much of the data flow is opt-in for viewers, or is it all in once you choose to engage and play and immerse yourself in these experiences?
We provide the choice to the partner. So partners decide whether they want to make it, you're in whether you like it or not, or whether you want to give the users the choice.
This is all so interesting. It starts to really feel like the future of TV. And, you know, when you read a lot of what analysts are writing in the industry and covering in the industry, what we're seeing is convergence.
Yeah.
Convergence of viewing and experiences, converging of gaming and viewing. And we're sort of all in one ecosystem now with lots of different dots being connected in different ways.
Yeah.
So, will you share some insight with us on how you see future trends playing out and where you see all of this headed?
I hate to go through a podcast without giving a nod to someone that meant a lot to the company and to me personally. David Stern was the commissioner of the NBA, was our investor and advisor and mentor. God, I mean, held so many roles for us. And this is something that excited him the most when he invested in the company. And we used to talk about this all the time. One of the things that I was trying to get to stick, which I never really did a good enough job from a brand positioning point, was bridging the gap between the world of gaming and media. There is a lot that the gaming world can learn from, the esports world can learn from the traditional media world, right? Like, you can see that all these leagues that have come up, they're trying to adopt the model and the governance structure of NBA and NFL. You know, you see the Overwatch League, you see the League of Legends League. On the flip side, there is a lot that the media world can learn from the gaming world. How do you engage your community? How do you retain that community? How do you create stickiness? So to your point about convergence, it's all blended. You know, you can also see it in personnel. You'll see someone from Activision Blizzard going over to NFL, and you'll see someone going from NFL to Activision Blizzard, right? Like, there's this cross-pollination happening because there's an exchange of ideas that's a must at this point, because at the end of the day, fans are fans of both places. And so at the moment they are used to one type of viewing experience, they're not going to forget all of that when they go into a passive lean back viewing experience for ESPN. They're going to crave the community. They're going to crave interactivity. Live stream shopping is becoming a key factor in you know, recent funding rounds. If you see, you know, Pop Shop Live and stuff. So in my mind, I think we are already past the inflection point as far as experiences are concerned from a interactivity and community standpoint. Now it's just a matter of how deep do you want to go? How quickly can you innovate in creating these new types of experiences? I mean, look no further than what Disney is doing, right? Like, Disney Plus, it's all in on streaming and creating that ecosystem. The fact that Disney can use their streaming service as a connecting point for all different aspects within the ecosystem, right? They're actually able to go to the consumer directly and know who they are without having to go through distributors and middlemen. So convergence, probably summarizes it in the best way, but there's so much nuance latent behind it. And I think what LiveLike is trying to do there is to provide the possibilities for creating these kind of experiences without having to spend a pretty penny and hire a massive team to do this for you.
And one last question, because we're sitting here in the middle of a global pandemic as we speak.
Yeah.
How is COVID accelerating and amplifying all of the opportunities around this space? Because people are now actively seeking out new ways to engage in virtual environments.
When the pandemic hit, it was scary for everyone. But I think quickly, people shifted into survival mode, right? And in the world of digital, what that meant was, because there was a massive pause in programming, people had to figure out how to create new lines of revenue. Can we show some past? I mean, again, in the world of sports, can we show some past games and create watch parties around that so we can keep our fans engaged? People that were subscription services had to think of how to create new forms of content to people for that, so that people weren't canceling their services or subscription services. What the pandemic did was it put digital innovation and fan engagement at the top of everyone's priority, not just because they had more time, but because now with Zoom and these watch parties propping up everywhere around the world, they realized that this is not a nice to have. This is absolutely a must have at this point. We have been beating this drum for 5 years now. It just so happens that everything that we were saying for the last 4 years has become more relevant than ever before today.
Well, it's certainly nice to know that some good things are coming from this difficult situation for everyone. And I think there's tremendous reason to believe that you'll be able to leverage this opportunity and pay it forward in really interesting ways for the industry. Thank you so much for educating us a bit today about what LiveLike is doing. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Vicky. I appreciate the time. This was a genuinely fun discussion.
Hope you found this Thinking Out Loud conversation interesting and perhaps even thought-provoking. There are more on the way. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review.